We're joined by Blair Horner, the executive director of NYPERG. We've asked Blair to come back on to talk about the redistricting maps for both Congress and for United States Senate, which were released here in New York State on Monday. Most of the attention being focused on the congressional races. The Democrats have been accused of gerrymandering, had really drawn the lines in the legislature to favor Democrats in the congressional race. And in the new lines, while 15 of the races do, you know, lean Democrat, three elect lean Republican, eight are considered competitive. So, Blair, you know, what's your sort of reaction to what this special master has put forth in the redrawing of the lines?
Well, thanks for having me. It's an astonishing change in the maps. There are now longtime incumbent members, for example, Representatives Nadler and Maloney in Manhattan, who are now in the same district and live in the same district. And so, and there are implications. There are similar issues like that across us. I believe Representative Tonko now lives in Representative Stefanik's district, or at least their districts overlap, the old districts. Right. So it's going to be, there's all sorts of potential changes that could occur. There are new people now that want to run for Congress. So it's really thrown New York politics, congressional district line politics, out the window. And we're going to see what happens. I mean, again, these maps are only drafted by the special master. The court still has to approve them. And there'll be some public process going into that decision. But people expect the lines to stay more or less along the lines that the special master drew them.
Now, one thing I do point out is that technically there are no residency requirements to run for Congress as long as you're a resident of the state. And so, for instance, Paul Tonko has indicated that he will run in the district that includes Albany, Schenectady, and Troy, regardless of whether or not his home, you know, in Amsterdam is included. Now, I believe on Friday, the judge sort of, you know, signs off on this. What are the chances that the higher courts, which, you know, it was the Court of Appeals that, you know, made the final decision that the lines had to be redrawn? Any chance that the final, you know, Court of Appeals will make the decision, or they likely just say we handed it to the judge? He did an adequate job. That's it.
Well, I would think that it's more likely to be the latter than the former, but you never know, right? There may be aspects of this. There have been charges raised that this is having a discriminatory impact, and so this is clearly uncharted waters, because the provision of the state constitution that's driving this about the congressional seats and the state Senate seats is new. And this is the first time it's being tested legally. So what the courts decide to do, of course, is, I think, is anyone's guess. But the whole point of this was to appoint a special master who was an expert, have him in this case draw the lines and then sort of sign off on them. So I think it's more likely that little will change than a lot when they actually meet and decide what they're going to do.
Now, and drawing the lines, you know, the general goal is that the population should be, you know, relatively the same. Obviously, the Court of Appeals did not like the fact that the lines were pretty clearly drawn to favor electing as many Democrats as possible. But also the lines supposed to have some concern about racial demographics. Has any concerns been raised about how this breaks down in terms of representation of minority voters and candidates in Congress?
Yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, the charges have been leveled that it is having a discriminatory impact and breaking up communities in that way. I've not seen the data behind that, so it's hard to know for sure if those charges are fair, if it's just, you know, blowing smoke in terms of trying to get people to get excited about the new lines. The special master shouldn't have had an axe to grind. I mean, it's just somebody from Pennsylvania who's an expert in this, who teaches at, I believe, the University of of Pittsburgh. It might have been University of Pennsylvania, but an expert in this field. And, you know, he didn't have any particular axe to grind. So the Lions, I suppose, should be taking all of those things in consideration. But the charges have been made, and they will come up, I assume, in the final length, you know, the final procedures on this, as the public gets a chance to weigh in and the court decides what it wants to do.
Now, the court has basically moved the primary date for the Senate and for Congress to August 23rd. The existing statewide primary for governor of the United States Senate, et cetera, remains on June 28th, as well as the state assembly, though there now is increased efforts to try to also throw out the assembly lines. But the judge in the main case has said, well, it's too late to deal with that. What's the legislature doing about this, if anything, you know, and is there any possibility in the last 2 weeks that they try to move all the primaries to August 23rd rather than spending all the money to have two separate primaries?
Well, I mean, that's clearly a topic for discussion. And I think the legislature is still waiting for the dust to completely settle on the maps to figure out what they want to do. In terms of the primaries, you're right, though. It's, you know, tens of millions of dollars twice instead of once for primaries to be run in New York. And, you know, there's everyone has different political calculations as to whether or not they'd like it sooner as compared to later. I think there'll be a lot of pressure to merge the primary dates. But as far as I can tell, at least as we speak now, there certainly is no consensus among the governor and the legislative leaders to do so. And so I would not be surprised if there are special elections for the congressional seats. Congressional Representative Delgado is supposed to become lieutenant governor. Congressional Representative Reed out in the Rochester area has resigned. So that creates special elections, plus two primaries, plus the general, all in the next, you know, 6 months.
Now, switching to a different topic, unfortunately, the initial founder, I guess, almost executive director of NYPERG, Donald Ross, recently, passed away. What is your thoughts of about Donald and his role in building NYPERG?
Well, Donald Ross was one of the original Nader Raiders, and it was his idea to try to harness the activism, idealism, and energy of college students, to harness that energy and to get involved in civic life in a broader way beyond the college campuses. The public interest research groups of the institutions that came out of that, including New York Public Interest Research Group, which Donald became the first executive director of in 1973, 50 years ago. So Donald played a key role. In a sense, he was a political builder. He worked with NYPERG, then moved on, and he's done a lot of different things with a lot of different organizations. We put together a list of about 30 to 40 organizations that he helped create during his professional career. And so he's been involved in a lot of things. He's built a lot of different organizations, created a lot of networks, and has left an incredible legacy that the rest of us have to, you know, sort of step up to now.
Well, you mentioned 50 years. So I imagine NYPERG will have some type of 50th anniversary celebration. And I also understand those young people out there looking for a summer job that NYPERG's actually reopening its campus this summer after the shutdown due to COVID.
That's exactly right. Grassroots activism is back in business at NYPERG. You're right. We'll be having a 50th anniversary probably sometime next year, and we'll be we're involved in trying to organize some sort of appropriate event for to celebrate Donald's life sometime this fall.
You mentioned all the various events that Donald had been involved with, the organizations he helped start. One of the issues that I remember from him, you know, early on was, you know, fighting, nuclear power. He was the lead organizer in the 200,000 person No Nukes rally in New York City in 1979. I imagine the nuclear power in the last 30 seconds still a major NYPERG concern.
Yes, it is. They haven't figured out what to do about the waste. And that's a big problem. It's a very expensive way to boil water and dangerous.
Okay. Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPERG, NYPERG.org. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.